Mental Health Monday Marathon. Tackling the stigma.
Luciana Berger, Wavertree MP, and of course, passionate campaigner when it comes to all matters mental health. Luciana, thank you for your time.
Good morning, Mick.
Welcome to the programme. Luciana, this is such a huge issue. Already we've touched on some of the issues around it, the numbers around it, and the types of people that we might be speaking to and talking about. That mental health issue that you campaign so passionately about now, what is it for you that summarises maybe why you're so passionate about campaigning on this issue?
Well, I'm so passionate about it because we all have mental health. And at any point in my life or your life, our mental health could be affected and we could suffer with our mental health. I happen to be lucky at the moment that I'm not suffering with my mental health, but it could at any moment. One in four of us at any moment will be suffering with our mental health. And yet still, it's not treated in the same way as conditions affecting our physical health. And I know from many of my constituents, family and friends that there is still a stigma, a discrimination surrounding mental health that we've got to break down. We've made a lot of progress, but we've still got some distance to go. And I want to make sure that when we've really address that taboo that exists around mental health, that everyone has access to services that they need to help them to get through any condition they may be suffering from. And again, that's part of the inequality when it comes to mental health. We know we've still got a long way to go before we have that true, what's technically called parity, that true equality. We've got some way to go before that equality becomes a reality.
Yeah, and in terms of Jake and I have been having the conversation about how we talk about mental health between, you know, friends, family members, colleagues, but actually the fact that you're getting involved in this as a politician massively suggests that actually there's a lot of things that politicians and also governments can do to sort of make sure that phrase parity of esteem that makes things equal between mental and physical health actually sticks. So what sort of things are happening now? What more do you think needs to happen?
Well, it was back in 2012 that this line was written into the Health and Social Care Act, this line of equality for mental health, parity of esteem. That was quite a few years ago. And I think it's fair to say that we're still some distance from achieving real equality for mental health within our NHS services. So it's my job as an MP to hold the government to account for some promises and commitments they've made to put extra money into mental health, and also to ensure that we're seeing more progress made to really affect that difference. And yeah, part of the challenge is at the moment there's lots of silos. So often within our NHS, not in every case, but in too many cases, we treat our mental health separately and differently from how we access physical health services and how we access social care. And one of the things that many of us think will make a big difference is if we really, really integrate and bring together our physical health services with our mental health services and how we deal with social care as well. So I'm one of a number of campaigners that really focus on that also, to make that change into the future, so that we look at how we treat people as a whole rather than looking at how we deal with individual symptoms.
It's one of the issues with this that, you know, if you break your leg on a Saturday afternoon, you know that a lot of people play football and therefore hospitals prepare for lots of people breaking their legs. But the thing with mental health is that so many people don't talk about it, that when you're setting up the provision for mental health, there's almost an unknown quantity. And is that something that politicians are struggling to grasp with? That actually you can have the provision that is there for the help required at the moment, but also be aware of the fact that once that provision is there, that people might actually think, like Jake here, I might actually need to use that. So that becomes an unknown matter, doesn't it? And is that sort of that threat of escalating budgets and things like that part of the issue at the moment?
Well, I think if we had sufficient services in the first place, then this wouldn't be an issue for us to contend with. I mean, part of the issue is that we really don't know what the prevalence is of mental health. And at the moment, we're waiting for the outcomes of a big research study done by the National Centre for Social Research to look at how many young people are really suffering with their mental health. Figures that date back to the start of 2000 tell us that 3 children in every classroom will suffer with a mental health condition. But that figure is believed to have increased. And so we need to know what the number is.
Jake Mills as well is in the studio. We've got Luciana Berger on the line as well, live from Westminster. Luciana's got a really busy day, actually. We're going to hear in a few moments about why she's got such a busy day when it comes to Westminster. But Jake, you've got a question for Luciana.
Yeah, Luciana, it's just what you were saying about equality for mental health and how we know it's not really happening and it's still not a thing. And I was just wondering, in your opinion, why is that not happening? Is it not being taken seriously? Because I've really refused to believe it's down to money, but what is it? Why is it taking so long?
Well, we're hearing lots of warm words about mental health. We have done for a number of years, lots of big gestures and big promises and big commitments. And part of the challenge is that within our NHS, we've had a massive reorganisation that happened back in 2012. And as a result of that reorganisation, the money now gets distributed in different ways. And part of the challenge is that we know that when government allocates money to certain things, for example, A&E targets, so the fact that we go to accident and emergency and normally, not obviously within the midst of a winter crisis at the moment, but normally you'd expect to be seen within 4 hours. And money is given into the NHS and it's attached to that target and people are expected to deliver on it. The challenge with mental health is that promises are made at the top, but the money isn't ring-fenced. It isn't protected. So it's up to each individual area to decide how to spend its money. And because the government doesn't protect it, that money, it means it gets used in some cases for other things. So an organisation called Young Minds, which focuses on young people's mental health, did a big survey in the last year and they found when it comes to young people's mental health services, at least 50% of areas were taking the money that was intended for young people's mental health and using it for other parts of the NHS. Now, we know that our NHS is under a lot of pressure. And I have every sympathy with local areas that essentially have seen cuts to their budgets and their overall health budgets. But that's why I and many others are campaigning to ring fence the mental health money to ensure that actually it reaches those services that it's intended for. And that we actually see, you know, promises made by Theresa May and Jeremy Hunt translate into action on the ground. Because it's fair to say at the moment in too many places, not in every place, but in too many places, there's this big gap, and in too many places, money is used for other parts of our NHS.
And on that ring fencing, I know there's been petitions set up on this one as well. What sort of a reaction have you had when you've raised the issue of ring fencing budgets, of saying, hands off, this money is for mental health services and for nothing else?
Well, I raised it. I sit on what's called the Health Select Committee, and we get to ask various government ministers and officials about various different things. And I had the opportunity before Christmas to ask Jackie Doyle Price, the Minister for Mental Health, about ring fencing. And her response to me was that, and I quote, she said, in her experience, ring fences often become ceilings, which means that whatever the ring fence is set, that in some places you might want to spend more money, but that people don't spend more money because that's the limit that's put on it. And my response is, I'd take a ring fence in many parts of the country, including our own. If that money is protected, at least we know that it's going to frontline mental health services. I have no issue with a ring fence being put on to ensure that many places, including in Liverpool, money reaches the front line. Because the fact of the matter is, in our own area, in Liverpool, in the last year, we've seen cuts to services like YPass, which is one of our main young people's mental health service, a cut of 43%. It's over £750,000, a really, really significant amount. We've seen cuts to our Liverpool's bereavement service, for example, a really important service to help people that might be suffering with their mental health at a time when they lose a close one or a loved one. And so, again, this is just examples on the ground, and it's not just in Liverpool, it's across the country where, right at the top, in government, in parliament, we hear these, you know, strong commitments and promises where actually local areas are not being held to account to ensure that they have to spend the money on mental health and they're using it for other things.
Yeah, just on that one, Jeremy Hunt in July 2017 made a £1.3 billion commitment. He said to mental health, with 1 million more patients will be seen by 2021, 24/7 services, integrated mental and physical health, and 21,000 new jobs by 2021, including 2,000 in CAMHS, which is that young people services that you mentioned there. We've invited the Secretary of State onto the programme. As yet, he has been unable to take part, but it's basically 24 hours. So at some point, hopefully in 24 hours, we'll leave the door open for him. You've got a busy day, Luciana. Mental health's on the agenda. Explain what's going on in Westminster today.
So Westminster's always busy, and particularly on a Monday, and lots of many different things going on. But one thing in particular is I'm co-hosting an event with Channel 4, which is specifically looking at mental health. The event this afternoon is called Challenging the Stigma, a roundtable discussion on young people's mental health and broadcast media. And this is an event where we're going to see representatives from a number of programmes that we've seen on Channel 4 come to Parliament to talk about their experience of writing about and acting and presenting on television issues to do with mental health. So Johnny Benjamin is going to be with us. He was the person who was helped by the stranger on the bridge who helped him when he was considering taking his life, and we're going to hear about that. And we've also got some members, the cast of Hollyoaks, joining us also to talk about a number of their storylines where they've been acknowledged for the contribution they've made to challenging that stigma and talking about feelings on television, and particularly addressing the issue of self-harm as well in programmes just before Christmas.
Do you get a sense, Luciana, that there is a great deal of goodwill that's out there, that actually there shouldn't be too much doom and gloom when it comes to the opportunities for mental health in the future, that we should embrace the fact that, you know, large media organisations like Channel 4 are taking this on, and that shows like Hollyoaks, which obviously have a young audience as well, are taking on these issues and aren't afraid to look at these issues?
Oh, most certainly. And Mick, you and I were at the event in London for the Mind Media Awards, which is an awards ceremony that celebrates media professionals and mental health campaigners. It's been running for 25 years as part of Mind, the National Mental Health Charity's strategy to encourage better media reporting and depictions of mental health. And this year, they received close to 1,000 entries, more than ever before. And they had the ceremony online, and over 20,000 people followed the stream, wanting to take part. Definitely the interest has blossomed in recent years. We've definitely seen progress being made in terms of challenging that stigma and discrimination. And we're on a journey. We're certainly not at the end of the journey, but we're definitely on a really positive journey where we're seeing lots of differences being made. The fact that we're even having this conversation today, you're doing this show, it's so fantastic. You know, there's lots of different examples where, you know, there's a real aspiration and a real keenness to really address this issue and to give it the attention it deserves. And, you know, I see it every day, and we're going to be addressing it in Parliament later this afternoon.
Fantastic stuff. Luciana, thank you for your time today. Thanks for being our first guest on the Mental Health Monday Marathon. Thank you very much. We really do need it, but thank you. Really appreciate you joining us. Luciana Berger, the Wavertree MP, a prominent mental health campaigner, that event taking place that she mentioned in Parliament today.
Mental Health Monday Marathon with Mick Coyle on Radio City Talk.